Moses said, "Fear the Lord your God." Jesus said, "Love God, love neighbor." Well, which is it? Fear God or love God? These two particular statements seem contradictory. How is it that we can do one or the other? Opponents of the Bible would like to point out such statements and say this is why we can't take the Bible seriously. But we know that's because they love to take things out of context, like the devil. Through the cross, the message of salvation includes this: that the Father would love nothing more than his children to fall in love with him. In choosing to die for us, the gift of salvation has been made available. From this love God created, from this love God gives us the path of life. The natural response of love is to love in return. If love is understood, if love is present, everything then should be a response to that love. And when we talk about love, love primarily is that of sacrifice. That is why it's so important that in our church we have the crucifix to remind us of what love is. Because it's not about the warm fuzzies. Parents, in living their vocations, live this reality day in and day out. There are times in which they are able to love their children well, doing everything the way that they should. They're listening to them. They're playing nicely with their siblings. Then there are times where it's not so good. You know, maybe you might have one of your sons that refuses to take out the garbage for the fifth time, you know, and just flatly says out no as he crosses his arms. And while you still have love for your child, for your son, you know that this behavior is not acceptable. You know that he will fail in life if he doesn't listen, if he doesn't cooperate, if he doesn't recognize that he's a team player, if he doesn't exercise responsibility. So there's got to be that discipline that's present there that says, this is wrong, this behavior is destructive, don't do that again. So we know very well that love is definitely not about the feel-goods. Then why do we sometimes equate the phrase "God is love" only with the feel-goods? Maybe not us, but perhaps those that we have encountered, our family and friends, they will use that excuse to say that, well, anything that they do is really excusable. God is love, after all. God is merciful, so therefore I can continue in my sin. Despite the fact that when you read Holy Scripture, you see how Jesus challenges the sinner, forgives them, and says, go and sin no more. God is certainly love, but sometimes it is taken far out of the proper context in which one normally hears that phrase. Some presume his forgiveness, some presume his mercy, so much so that they persist in their acts and saying that God understands. And in this scenario, we bolster our hearts with courage and say, as a parent would with a child, this is destructive. Hence the importance of having a healthy fear of the Lord, as Moses was talking about. You see, if the message that God is love doesn't prompt us to do good, then sometimes, yeah, it is necessary that we think about the consequences of sin. Ideally, we want to get to the point that we have such a perfect love for God that the idea of sin, of being disobedient, of doing things on my own is unthinkable. That all we do is simply look to God and ask him, what is my life to be today? How can I be of service. How can I serve? After all, we hear in sacred scripture in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. However, before we can arrive at that, we have to understand what this fear of the Lord is and understand its purpose. After all, the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord, Proverbs 9:10. So you see, when our love for God is lacking, when we make excuses for ourselves and don't do the things that we know that God is asking of us, especially through Holy Mother the Church, there's a need for us to rediscover this fear of the Lord. And it's quite amazing that this particular phrase is actually one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is found along wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, piety, fortitude. Fear of the Lord is seen then as a blessing, as a grace, as something that we need in this life to grow more and more in our love for God and neighbor. It's necessary because we can so get caught up in the world. We lose our primary focus, the things that are before us. Right? We're so busy looking at the tree. God wants us to look at the forest. We're looking at the tree and we're thinking, well, this should be my goal. This was where I think I ought to go. And sometimes we don't include that in our discernment process. We don't ask the Lord. We don't speak to Him. We don't realize whether or not this is what God is asking me to do. You know, maybe we might find ourselves investing our time in the acquisition of money, you know, in our job, in our work, you know. And again, sometimes that might be necessary, but the point is, in all these things, does it lead us away from God? Does it lead us away from the responsibility that we know that is owed to Him? You know, aside from coming to Holy Mass on Sunday, you know, are we charitable? Are we patient? Are we exercising the corporal, spiritual works of mercy? You know, are we being neighborly? Are we being respectful? You know, all these things, you know, the Lord will be asking of us. You know, when we say that every day is a gift, every day is a gift in which we will be accountable before the Lord. You know, it's like when the Lord Jesus spoke about giving the talents. And He gave the talents, right, to three different people. 1 10, 1 5, 1, a singular talent. And then they go and try to do things with it to kind of amass more. You know, every day that we have, you know, sometimes we look at it, you know, well, it's just another day, right? You know, we have these momentous occasions in our lives that we celebrate, such as birthdays, anniversaries, events that we look forward to, getting together with family, getting together with friends. And we forget that, no. Every day is a gift. And until we get to that point of seeing that every day is a gift, you know, there's going to be a disconnect in how it is that we approach life. And we don't get to use the day in which the Lord has ordained it to be. You know, we miss the opportunities of grace. We miss the opportunities in which He is inviting us to be that salt and light in the world. And some of us might think, well, that's not my job. I'm not a religious. I'm not a priest. I'm not a deacon. But by virtue of your baptism, you've already been set apart by God. And He's empowered you through the Holy Spirit to do great things. And so this sense that, you know, if we know that every day is this gift, but it's a gift that also will be accountable for God, then I think if we have that in mind, how much more would we take each day seriously to walk in the light of the Lord? You know, if it's not about money, you know, sometimes it might be fame. you know, a constant thing that my brothers and I talk about in the priesthood. You know, we had our convocation not too long ago where we got together with the priests and the bishops. You know, it's the whole concern that, you know, especially on Sundays, sports seems to be the very thing in which competes against Holy Mass and keeping the Lord's Day. Now, there's a place for that, absolutely. You know, it instills particular virtues, teamwork. There are very good things related to it. There's no denying that. But when it takes away from that which we ought to give to God, that's the problem. I mean, it's not just sports, right? You know, it's anything that we set our heart to. You know, maybe it's a hobby. We set that above everything else. And then this is why it's so important, right? Because then we go back to the whole notion, okay, God is love, so God is love. God will know. God will understand. God will always be there. And we take Him for granted. And we really don't know when our life will be demanded of us. I think last week I know of a high schooler who had particular health issues and had even some kind of tube in his brain, you know, to kind of help him function and do well. And he died. You know, not from some kind of external force, but just with all the things that's been happening to him. And if we treat it every day as a gift, you know, not only is it approached with that kind of seriousness by which we should give God and then, God willing, we arrive at heaven, but also too, there's a great amount of joy that can be experienced. You know, that's why you might have heard me said that before. St. Francis of Assisi was so joyful because he always contemplated his death every day. Not to be depressed or anything like that, but to say, I'm putting everything in perspective, you know. I could be dead, but I'm not. Let's take advantage of that, huh? Let's make the most of it. You know, anyone I need to forgive, God, give me the grace to forgive. You know, have I been hoarding my money? You know, for these excessive things that in my heart I know I don't need. Help me to be generous with it. Help me to give to the poor, you know, or someone that I know that's in need. You know, here's a way to utilize that gift of the Holy Spirit, the fear of the Lord. And I'll leave you with this. Really, at the end of our lives, you know, when we die, right, I think we're going to be kind of shoulder to shoulder with Jesus as He plays for us our lives. You know, in certain times he might wonder, you know, what were you thinking there? Or why did that happen? And other times he might praise, you know, give us praise. You cooperated with grace. That's wonderful. Look at you. I think if we have that awareness and we utilize that, especially in times of difficulty, that would be a great gift to us. You know, that would be using that fear of the Lord in such a way that helps us now. You know, so for example, maybe you might be angry with your parents because they keep telling you no about something in particular. Or maybe you might find yourself losing patience with your spouse that you've been a caregiver for more than 5 years. You know, in any of these scenarios, you know, if we imagine ourselves with Jesus, looking at ourselves in that moment, how is it that we would like to respond? Would we at that time want to see us respond and saying, well, you know, I'm going to go and take a drink, you know? Or do we see ourselves, you know, fighting against that temptation and saying no and doing something good instead? Or in that scenario where I was talking about, you know, you getting angry with your parents, you know, is, and do you just take a step back and think, is there any truth to what they're saying or what I need to be doing? Take a deep breath and have a conversation with that. You know, is that what we'd rather see with Jesus rather than us exploding and saying things that we know the next day we'll regret? Or, you know, maybe, again, just going back to the other example of patience, you know, with our spouse and they're suffering with dementia, and, you know, they're requesting us the same thing for the seventh time and we've said the answer already. You know, how would we like to respond in the presence of Jesus? You know, what would we like to say at that moment as you and Jesus are watching that moment, you know? And sometimes that's enough, because it reminds us, I'm not made for this world. I'm made for the kingdom of God. And it calls us to extraordinary love, extraordinary virtue. You know, sometimes we get so stuck on the fact that, you know, things aren't fair. You know, we look at our lives as a scale, you know, as it being balanced. You know, am I getting what is justly mine? Or have I been taken advantage of? And when I mention that, I don't mean that we should be taken advantage of or that we should be a doormat. No, absolutely not. But I'm talking about those moments where, you know, just like in that scenario about patience, you know, and knowing that your spouse may not understand because of dementia, you know, that's where it has to call for extraordinary love. There's no other way. There's no other way. You know, and sometimes too, you know, that extraordinary love might be do the thing that's asked and then excuse yourself for about 5 minutes or 10 minutes, right? To kind of pray and regroup. That's fine. That's necessary. But we don't ever want to throw in the towel or give into that temptation where we just give into that anger. Moses, in saying that we should fear the Lord, said, you know, this is done by keeping his statutes and commandments. That is, when we find ourselves living in the light of his law and do not rely on our own understanding. God loves us. That's undeniable. But do we have the fear of the Lord, the gift of the Holy Spirit that says, I'm not perfect and I need to change? If our understanding of God's love is only speaking to us of his leniency, we are missing an important part of the faith. You see, the Father would love nothing more than his children to fall in love with him. How much do we rely on our own understanding and not seek the Lord? As he calls us with bands of cord to his sacred heart, sometimes it is necessary that fear is present to help us arrive at perfect love.